creativity will always beat recklessly used money when it comes to marketing. As we hit roadblocks or challenges in our business, and we've got to get a pop in the account or generate some revenue, I got to get creative here and think of it from a creative standpoint, not a stressful standpoint.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I'm here with John Jackson. He's referred to as the king of lease options by educators, speakers, and investors across the country. He's transformed many of his techniques, methods, and structure that has been the backbone of lease options. It is the gold standard. His company, Leasing to Buy, they refine many ways in which lease options can be structured and executed so that over 98% of his buyers obtain permanent financing within 12 months. Absolutely unheard of in the industry. And take it from me, a guy who's got a number of options out there. It's unheard of, not even close. As an educator, John's the only educator in the U.S. to teach Texas lease options and the unique laws of Texas. Real estate attorneys have referred John based on his education, experience, and expertise in the field. And he's going to talk to us about how to do it with no credit, no money, no risk, almost no competition, and to do it in pretty neighborhoods with pretty houses. So I'm pumped to have him here. John, how you doing?
Man, Neil, I got to say, I was just basking in the glory you were giving me and batting my eyelashes. I sound so phenomenal. I almost want to date myself. You know?
If you weren't taken, you would. I'm certain.
If I wasn't taken by a beautiful Brazilian, I would so date me. I sound like, look at this, Neil. I just realized I got this shirt on. John. I say, I'm so great. You got to say my name twice.
You got to say it twice.
This is actually a shirt from Brazil. And John's a brand down there.
A brand down there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was appropriate for me to wear. But yeah, Neil, great to be here, man.
Hey, it's good to see you, man.
Super excited to be here. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you start firing off.
Hey, tell me, everybody started someplace. How'd you even get into this biz?
So the way I got into real estate was I used to be a day trader. Doing options and stocks. And so I did that for a couple of years. I wanted to get into real estate. And at the time, this is 2002, probably. There wasn't much online at all, and had considered buying houses and renting them out. But again, not knowing anything about anything, all I saw was, okay, let me see, I have to go buy a house, rehab it, get a loan, the whole thing. Then you rent it out and you're making like $150 a month. Again, I didn't know anything. I did have a friend that had a couple of rental houses and he made like $150 a month. And I thought, well, that just seems like a lot of work for $150 a month, right? Yeah. Nevertheless, going through different types of real estate, just looking, browsing, I would come across blurbs about lease options. Well, the word options caught my attention because I trade options. Well, what is this? I know what that is. Yeah, wait a minute. Maybe this is something I can get into. And I would dive into it. Again, not a lot of information at the time. But at the time, Neil, lease options were touted as a way to rip people off. You know, hey, get someone into a house that has the option fee, you know, the down payment, the option fee. They're never going to buy the house. They can't even qualify for it. After 12 months or so, they can't make any more payments. You kick them out, say, thanks for playing. Boom, let's do it all over again to get somebody else in the house that can never make the payments, but they got the down payment. Otherwise, that's wrong.
Right.
But the structure of a lease option, I like. I get that. It just clicked. It made sense to me. So I said, what if you take the actual benefits of a lease option, that structure, that framework, and build a business around that framework, which is where my company Leasing to Buy started. And that was in 2003 that I started it. And within 3 months, I'd done my first lease option and then did the next one, I think, within a few weeks after that. And so within a few months, 3 or 4 months, I was doing this full time. Yeah. And this is my full-time gig. But that's how I got into real estate and specifically lease options.
All right. So educate the crowd for those who don't know what a lease option is.
So a lease option is simply a lease with an option of purchase. Mm-hmm. Some people call it rent to own. The easiest way to kind of picture it is this. If you've ever leased a car, like a Cadillac or a BMW, anything like that, if you've ever leased a car, you had a lease option. That is a lease option. We do the same thing that BMW does, except with a house. Mm-hmm. And the difference is our buyers, our lessees, are going to be buying that house. They're not going to give it back at the end of the lease. They want to buy that house. So that's what a lease option is. Same thing you get on a BMW or a Cadillac. And so what we do is we work specifically with pretty houses and pretty areas and pretty people. So versus wholesaling, which is nasty, filthy, ugly houses, the left side's falling off, nasty houses, the difference between wholesaling and lease options, I call it pee money versus pool money. Right. And if you've done any wholesaling, anybody watching or listening, if you've done any wholesaling, you know exactly what I mean by pee money. You walk in, ammonia is just boom right in your eyes. You go home, there's fleas all over. It's just nasty. I don't like that. I like pretty clean pool houses that I would live in. And that's what we work with. Houses that are a quarter of a million, 300,000, 400,000, half a million dollar homes. That's what we work with, is pretty houses, not the ugly trash houses.
Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT, for 50% off your first month.
So tell me, if the option component of that, the lessee ends up paying an option fee at some point, typically upfront, right?
Yes. Yes. So the way, what we do is, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but there's three different types of lease options. There's a straight lease option, which is just two parties, a sandwich lease option, which is three parties involved. And some, you, this is the investor sandwiched between the seller and the buyer.
Yep.
And then there's the lease option assignment. Some people call it a wholesaling lease option, because you are assigning your contract to that end party being the people that are going to be living in the house.
Yep.
Right. And so that's what we do, Neil, is we specialize in lease option assignments, where we put that contract together with the seller. They're getting full price, no negotiating, no commission or anything. And then we assign that lease option to the end buyer, who's going to pay us our assignment fee. They're going to move into the house. They're going to make payments to the seller. And then, of course, we will help them. We work with them, and our lenders guide them to the process or the point of finance.
Of financing that piece out. Well, it sounds like what I heard you say there is you've got a unique strategy, which not that many people do or know how to do. And you've got multiple exit strategies. You've got multiple ways of cashing in.
So what we do is, and this is important for everyone to understand, with a lease option assignment, you're not taking down the house. You're not making payments on the house, right? Just like with a wholesale deal, you put the contract together, right?
Yep.
And then you assign it. With us, we put that contract together. We give ourselves 90 days to market this lease option, right? Yep. To assign it. Now, here's what's interesting, though. While we have this lease option, this 90 days to market it, right? Which it typically takes us 45 days, but still. While we're marketing that lease option to our clientele, to our list, the seller is still marketing it on their own for sale by owner. It may be listed at the same time. That's fine. Whatever they want to do. And that makes a huge difference when I tell the seller, look, I approach this as if it were my house. And if it were my house, I'd want to have every avenue possible.
That's right.
To market my house, because it's my house. Don't make me sign something that says that I no longer have any control or say so over my house, right? And that's one of the big rubs that people have with real estate agents, is they make them sign, basically giving their firstborn to the agent, right?
That's right.
And so we do the opposite. And I tell them, look, we're the opposite of an agent. I'm here to help you. Right. You can do whatever you want with the house. Well, I do my thing. You never pay us a dime. Our buyers pay us. Market it, whatever you want to. You can cancel anytime. So they love that freedom.
Yeah. Hey, talk to me about just your entire business, your entire career since you've gotten into this industry. What has been the most challenging pieces of it that you've experienced?
Wow. The most challenging pieces. I'm going through a challenging piece right now. Before we started this, I was talking about how I'm going to write a new book, Scale My Business or Slit My Wrist. Which I think anybody faces when you're trying to scale, but which that's a whole podcast there. But as far as challenges that I faced. Again, as this goes back to 2003, not knowing what I was doing, not really having a handbook or a rule book on, literally all I had, and I think I still have it, was a binder. It's like a 98-page binder on what lease options are. That was it. Here's what a lease option is. And I had to go create this idea for a business.
Yeah.
One of the biggest mistakes I made is having absolutely zero, no clue in the value of a mentor, someone who's walked that path that I want to walk, and hiring them. They're worth, a good mentor's worth their weight in gold. I cannot stress that enough. As I go into apartments and multifamily and raise capital, guess what? I'm surrounding myself, intentionally surrounding myself with some of the best in that space. Because I know I don't have another, you know, 19 years to learn this on my own, right?
Yeah.
So find a mentor. They're worth their weight in gold, a good one.
It's a shortcut, is it not?
It's a shortcut. If you want to be a surgeon, if you want to be an open heart surgeon, you don't do that by watching YouTube videos. But yet somehow, so many people have in their head that if they're watching enough YouTube videos, they understand the ins and outs and contract law of real estate and people's biggest asset on this earth. That's not the way it works. So get a mentor for sure. Business partners. That was a very challenging time. Very early on, a good friend of mine became a business partner, and there was no need in that. Looking back, I didn't know how to run a business. I didn't understand what business partnership was. Partnerships and business, guys, it's like going to the principal's office. You know, when you're a kid in middle school, now when I was growing up, I've been around for a while. When I was growing up out in the country, mind you, if I got sent to the principal's office, I was going to get my butt whipped. Right. That's just what they did back then, especially out in the country. And so when you're walking down to the principal's office, it's easier and more enjoyable when you got your buddy with you. Because, you know, you're both going to get licks. We call them licks. Yeah. You're both going to get licks, but that's okay because you got your buddy with you, right?
Yeah.
It's like Stand By Me or something.
Yep.
So that's easier. But that's how so many people, and I was guilty as well, that's how so many people approach partnerships. Is they're friends with somebody and they go, oh, hey, that seems really cool what you're doing. Hey, let me work with you. Okay, yeah, come on and we'll be partners. But you're really doing that because you're really just wanting the support and the confidence and someone to lean on walking to the principal's office because your backside licked.
Yeah.
So partnerships, rather than having a partner, I say, if someone's a good fit for your company, don't make them a partner, independent contractor. Worst case, making them an employee. And everybody has specific roles.
And a lot of people get into partnerships because of exactly what you just said. They're friends with somebody. They think it'll be great. Not necessarily so that it complements the business in the best possible way.
Yep, absolutely. And you've got to know exactly what everybody's roles are. And so partnership was a big issue that I had to lick my wounds on that. Once I had to dissolve that partnership, because we were very, very good friends for many years. Well, that's a marriage that's falling apart. So that's a big thing. And then another thing that I did wrong was there were times in 2008 and 2009 as the market crashed that was my busiest time ever, Neil. When the market pulls back, lease options are vital, guys.
Right.
Lease options, seller finance, guys, these creative tactics are going to be incredibly powerful as the market pulls back. And I sort of don't know exactly what is going to take place in the market, but
it's not getting better.
Now, having studied technical analysis for years for stock market and been in the real estate arena for 19 years, I've got my own opinion of what's going to take place. But anyway, at the end of the day, the government knows what they're doing and they're intentionally driving this crap in the ground. Did I say something about Jekyll Island? Is that what this topic was about? I'm sorry.
Tell me, so you've had to go through a number of things and make mistakes as you've gone. That has inspired certainly some, I would imagine, some growth, a new perspective. Today in your business, what are the non-negotiables in your business when it relates to bringing people in? Let's focus it on employees, on partnerships, on those that you surround yourself with, those in your five, right?
That's a good one. I was not prepared for this level of intelligence, Neil. Nothing against you.
Well, we've met. You should have known.
Wow. A non-negotiable. They, what is values? And I think it's about, are we all on the same team? Are people operating independently for their own good versus the entire team? So if this is a basketball team, is someone on the team that they want the ball all the time? It's all about them, and versus the team. And it's in those difficult times that the team players stand out versus the solo people that are on it for them. And so those are things that you keep in mind when, as you start to turn the ship around and things get better, you start to say, okay, now who do I not need on this team?
Yep. Yeah. Time to trade. Yeah. Sorry. So team over individual.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
What's the largest thing you do individually, personally, that attributes to your success?
Creativity. And I say it because at the end of the day, I'm not an analytical person. I'm a creative person. I did stand-up comedy for 10 years of my life. And so I love that creativity. Well, creativity comes into business as well. For example, with marketing, I say that creativity will always be recklessly used money when it comes to marketing. Mm-hmm. As we hit roadblocks or challenges in our business, and we've got to get a pop in the account or generate some revenue, I go, okay, I got to get creative here and think of it from a creative standpoint, not a stressful standpoint, right? And so that's one of the things that I thrive on is saying, okay, let me focus on what I have, not what I don't have, right? And what do I have? I've got 19 years of experience. I've got creativity. Yeah. I'm a very good teacher. I can put phenomenal presentations together. And so it's that creativity. So anybody out there watching and listening, creativity is so important. Having the analytical mind is good for the accounting department, right? But creativity is my super strength.
Wait, if you didn't have creativity, would you say that? Would you say it's important? If you found yourself to be an analytical human instead of a creative human, would you be touting analytical mindset? I'm going someplace with this, so humor me with the answer.
Yeah, if I was analytical, then of course I would say that being analytical was my super strength and not being creativity was not my super strength. I think, and this is my opinion, I think when it comes to challenges in business, that the analytical people, they're going to see more black and white.
Yeah.
And they're going to see things from intelligence standpoint of this doesn't add up. This doesn't add up. Yeah. Look at it from your heart and go, yeah, but I'm creative. That's okay. I know what that says, but dude, you're not going to believe here's some things I could do.
Right.
Right. And so I think the analytical person is going to face challenges, maybe with more stress.
Yeah. So what you said earlier that struck a chord with me is that you focus on the things that you are good at. You don't focus on that which you do not have. And so in the mind's eye, we get in which we focus on the most. And then you play to your strengths. You focus on your creativity. You lean into that. And as a result, that likely has propelled your business to heights that somebody who wouldn't have that, who'd be more analytical, probably couldn't achieve.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The analytical person is going to be better at
a number of things, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah. So play to your strengths. I'm never going to be the best accountant or book. I have no desire to do that. You know, just let me do my thing.
Yeah. Well, you'd be a hell of a creative accountant.
So I'd be very creative with that. No, I promise that decimal point's supposed to be there.
I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com.
There's always supposed to be three numbers to the right of the decimal point. Doesn't that work for everybody?
Yeah.
Hey, take me back to your childhood. Think about growing up. What was it or who was it that had the greatest impact in your childhood that makes you who you are today?
I would say it was my mom, but to me, my mom was like Carol Burnett. So the biggest impact was my mom, or actually, believe it or not, Carol Burnett, as odd as that sounds. So when I was in sixth grade, I wanted to be Tim Conway.
Yep.
So I'd watch Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
And then at school, I would do the Tim Conway routines. I would imitate Tim Conway. And the teachers didn't think it was funny because apparently they didn't watch Carol Burnett. They didn't know what the hell I was doing, you know? And so I'd go to the principal's office. But Carol Burnett, I loved the show Carol Burnett. And that was a big impact. My mom was very quick, very funny. And so I got my sense of humor through that, my speed and my wit and everything. So even young, I could fire back very quickly, which may or may not have got me in trouble in school. Interesting. So far in this conversation, I've mentioned about 8 times about going to the office, getting licks and getting in trouble. But yeah, I love the Carol Burnett show because there again, the creativity, you didn't know where the skit was going.
Nope.
And
total pioneer.
Yep. And so I loved that creativity.
Do you have siblings?
I've got one sister. She's 3 years older than me. And late last year, early this year, became one of my students. And which I was like, oh, really? But if you're going to come out as a student, I mean, you're going to pay, right? Because if you don't pay for it, you don't appreciate it.
That's correct.
She's actually surprised me. She's getting it down. I think she's closing her third deal at the end of this month. Third deal. Yeah.
That'll make for an interesting Christmas conversation, will it not?
Yeah. How her brother helped her make money.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call Four for Impact.
Four for Impact.
Your favorite quote, you never really own your possessions own you. It's from Fight Club. Yep. What about that resonates with you?
I think it kind of keeps things in perspective. You know, in this day of social media, you go on social media, you see all these 24-year-olds, whatever, they wholesale five houses, they go out and buy a watch.
Yeah.
And they get a tattoo. And it relates to me, it resonates with me because it keeps in perspective about what is all this for? I've got a vision board, don't get me wrong, right? But those possessions do not define me, right? A house in Florida does not define me. It's something I aspire to, but it doesn't define me. So understanding that you never really own your possessions own you. As an example, watch a guy and has a brand new Corvette, right? And he goes to the store. He's not going to park it in a regular parking lot. He parks it way out. And I've seen this where I still always remember this guy in a Corvette had parked way back out in the parking lot. And he kind of, and I'm sitting there in my car waiting on the kids or something. And I see him go out to his car. Before he even unlocks his car or puts his stuff in, he walks around the car twice. He looks again at how the light to make sure that's not a scratch. I'm like, dude, you don't own that car. It owns you.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, or they park in two spots.
And if you get a little scratch on that car, guess what? Their month is ruined. They're livid. So it keeps in perspective about, you know, what is it all about?
Yeah. What do you think it is that holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Well, it's the comfort levels. It's the six words that kill. So all of our comfort levels comprise of the six words that kill. The six words that kill are, yeah, but what if only? And those are the words that your subconscious says to protect you. Subconscious, there, some people call it the rabbit brain. It's there to protect you, whereas your conscious brain is the thinking brain.
Right.
So your every thought or desire that you have to take action on something has to pass from your conscious through your subconscious to make sure it passes the test. Before you take action. Mm-hmm. And so your subconscious will stamp any thought or idea or desire that you have before you take action. It's going to stamp it oftentimes with, yeah, but you don't have enough information. What if the seller says no? What if you screw that up? What if you mess up the contract? If only you knew how to do multifamily. If only you had the right person in place to raise capital. So it stamps all these ideas you have with denied, sends it back to your conscious brains, and your brain goes, oh, that's right. Yeah, I need more information. I need to go get more books on my bookshelf. I need to go listen to more podcasts and YouTube videos and this and that. So it's those six words that your subconscious is stamping your ideas with. The worst action you can ever take is the action you take when your subconscious stamps an idea with approved with caution. Because that means your action is going to suck pond water from a duck's butt, which means your results are going to suck. And then your conscious brain is going to see those sucky results and go, see, I knew this wasn't going to work. Why don't I ever listen to myself? It's because your subconscious, it was holding you back, is approved with caution. You see, wealthy people decide quickly and adjust. Mm-hmm. Whereas poor people or unsuccessful people, they never decide. And as the saying goes, the road of life is paved with dead squirrels that couldn't make a decision. Like, go left or right. I don't care. Just go. It's far easier in life to be 100% committed than it is to be 95% committed. And if you doubt me, look at any marriage that has issues. It's far easier to be 100%, man, I'm in, baby, boom, versus 95% where I'm in, but I'm kind of planning just in case. A what if?
Yep. Tell me, outside of real estate and of training, of coaching, what are you most passionate about?
I love talking about, as you can tell, I get passionate about talking about belief systems and why we think the way we do. And what goes in the brain. Passionate about going to the gym. I just, not to be a big bodybuilder, I just love the dopamine going and the endorphins. But I love psychology and looking into what makes us tick. Why are we the way we are? So literally, oh my gosh, today, as we're recording this, today is a major milestone in my life. Today is 3 years with no alcohol in my body whatsoever.
Good for you.
Which is a massive, massive thing for me. I was a crap show as I was going through a divorce and all this, and it was just a mess. But through this sobriety, I've used this time to not take it for granted, but to dive into, well, that's odd. Why was I like that? Mm-hmm. Why was I? Why couldn't I just stop drinking alcohol? Right. And as you dive into that, or as I've dove into that, seeing what goes on in the brain, the psychology, that what forms a habit, how the neurotransmitters, you know, fire to each other, that actually has a lot. It ties into success and failure and why we create the habits that we do. I get passionate about, I love listening to audiobooks about like Atomic Habits, 12-Week Year, anything like that.
That's great. Tell me, what's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
I would say is passing along what I've learned over 19 years, really helping somebody achieve success. And success could be one deal, could be five deals. But even more importantly than the deals, I think, Neil, is making an impact on the way they see life, the way they approach things. So I've had some students that they would consider that maybe they hired me as a mentor into our coaching program. Yeah. But for whatever reason, whatever number of reasons, they didn't get a deal across the finish line, but they were beyond ecstatic about how they grew during the time with me.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's important, I think, is just helping people take a look at how they approach life, how they look at things.
Yeah. Hey, for those who want to connect, follow you, learn more about lease options, learn more about your work, what you do, how they can connect with you, where can they go? What should they do?
Yeah. So I've got a couple of websites I'm going to give out. So my main website, as you can probably see behind me, is leaseoptionclasses.com, leaseoptionclasses.com. However, for this podcast, I've put together a special landing page with a bunch of free stuff for all the Real Grit viewers and listeners. It's free leaseoptiontraining.com, free leaseoptiontraining.com. They can go there, get a bunch of my documents, free download stuff. Hour and a half or so of me video of me training and going step by step how we do lease options. So free leaseoptiontraining.com.
No, that's terrific. I appreciate you doing that. And we'll make sure we get the links in the show notes for all the folks there. I appreciate you taking the time up. I wish you'd have a little more energy, quite honestly, from joining here online. A little low key.
This is more of a somber interview. And don't forget, people, don't forget everybody, John.
Yeah, exactly. John, you're a good friend. I love spending time with you and your wealth of knowledge and the work you do is tremendous. And I know you impact a lot of people in a lot of ways. So I appreciate you making time for our conversation today.
Well, thank you, Neil. I was really looking forward to this. It didn't live up to my expectations, but that's okay.
Next time, if you bring a little more energy, maybe it would live up to your expectations.
No, I have massive respect for you. So I've been looking forward to this. This has been a lot of fun, Neil. Yeah.
No, thanks a ton. Hey, for everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top five must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.